It's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America and around the world, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Harley and I'm Gary McNamara. RedEyeRadioShow.com, where we stream live or get our app. Put it on your phone.
Yeah, put it on your phone.
Whenever you want.
Mm-hmm. All right. What do you got? You got some audio here?
I got some audio here. The president holding a rally, and literally, seriously, holding a rally in India.
Mm-hmm. The first lady and I have just traveled 8,000 miles around the globe to deliver a message to every citizen across this nation. America loves India. America respects India. And America will always be faithful and loyal friends to the Indian people.
Right now, he is, from what we know, he's polling second now to Modi for the next prime minister.
You heard some laughter in the background as the theme song was starting. I was just reading a tweet from Jim Carafano from the Heritage Foundation. He says the Namaste Trump rally, let's be honest, 100,000 people in India. That's like five guys at Starbucks in D.C., based on the population.
Right.
Yeah, but pretty funny line. Mm-hmm. But it is, I mean, it's a massive turnout. And one of the best speeches I think the president has given, he talked about the wealth expansion in India, what it means on very basic levels. And that's something that I think, and he was talking about at one point, he mentioned, we didn't air it, but we were in a break. But he mentioned one person every 12 seconds, I think he said, or 12 people a minute, something like that, were lifted out of poverty every minute of every day, making the point that the expansion of wealth in India has been very real. Those are things I told you. I said, you know, his inauguration speech didn't come close to what you heard at the Namaste rally. So I can't wait to hear his next four or five inauguration speeches.
Well, I mean, he was when you think about it, in the speech to India, and we carried about the first 3 or 4 minutes of it, but he was quite the capitalist.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was talking about the expansion of wealth, the lifting out of poverty.
Yeah.
The world's largest democracy.
Right.
He was quite complimentary to their capitalist accomplishments, which I went, and whoever wrote the speech, extremely well written.
Yeah.
You and I were listening, we just went, wow, this is really, really, really good. Number one, it's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, you talk about wanting to build a relationship and a solid friendship with the world's one of the world's biggest countries and largest democracies. It's not bad to have them on your side.
Yeah, exactly.
But it also brings to the point, and we hear this all the time, that nobody respects us around the world,
right,
because of Trump. It's just not true. Now, there may be some world leaders that don't like Trump. They respect him. And in many countries, and I think the president is growing into being extremely comfortable as being president of the United States. And I think as he grows, as he gets to the point, look, this is a president that's been under siege for how long? For his entire presidency.
Yes.
For 3 years.
Yes.
By the opposition party, unfairly. Under siege.
Yes.
You know, another thing that was brought up, and we brought it up a couple times, but I think it's important to bring up, because the Democrats brought up Russia collusion again, and then that fell by the wayside. We played the audio cut from Lawrence O'Donnell at MSNBC saying the president is a Russian operative.
Yeah.
Think about this. With Russia collusion, and remember, it was Fiona Hill. Eric reminded me of her name earlier in the
mm-hmm.
show. During the impeachment hearings, the House impeachment hearings, that brought up that, wait a minute, I always thought that everything that Carter Page, Christopher Steele,
mm-hmm.
I always believed he was being played by the Russians.
Right.
I always believed that he was being played by the Russians. Others did too. And the DNC and the Hillary campaign paid campaign money and gave it to the, filtered it through
mm-hmm.
the Fusion GPS and Perkins Coie to a foreign agent
mm-hmm.
who then took that money and, according to himself, got the information she believes got BS'd by the Russians and Russian intelligence, which then the FBI and the Department of Justice, and intelligence agencies used to try to defeat a president, and when they could not do that, tried to destroy the legitimacy of an American presidential election. And they're calling the president a Russian operative?
Right.
You have seen Adam Schiff lie about it. You don't think who do you think the Russians are happier with? If the whole purpose of the Russian effort to disrupt an election is to disrupt and try to destroy the legitimacy of an election, forget about just disrupting an election. They were successful because who were the puppets for the Russians? The Democrats,
mm-hmm.
the media, the United States media was the puppets for the Russians.
Lawrence O'Donnell still is.
Lawrence O'Donnell still is a puppet of the Russians because none of it's true. And the amazing fact is on everything that we have talked about, it ends up that what you find out is those making the accusations are actually the ones that are more of an operative or an asset of the Russians than any person who they make the accusation against is, as we know from the Mueller report. But we know from their statements that they continue still to throw out as of last week again. Oops, we got to back off this one again. How many times does it go on? And then, to top it off, to put that cherry on top of the political insanity milkshake.
Hmm.
It looks like the person who is closest to get the nomination for the Democrats to be president of the United States honeymooned in the former Soviet Union, has loved being around communists, has said it one time. Yeah, I don't mind being called a communist.
Right.
Has supported Castro. Has supported communist regimes. If you made this into a movie, nobody would believe it. Ever.
No.
They just wouldn't believe it.
No, they wouldn't. I wonder if the Democrats will be just happy to get this behind them in November. Because, again, how do you market a Bernie? You know, in 2016, I was looking at some of the states where Hillary just beat Trump by a couple of percentage points in the general election. Some of those states could easily go for Trump over Bernie. Now, it won't be California, Illinois, or New York, but some of the other states could. And you look at that, and I think this is what a Chris Matthews looks at, James Carville. They know. These people have been doing this for a long time. They know how to crunch the numbers. They know where Bernie will be in November. They know what states he'll resonate in. But you look at the euphoria. There was some euphoria. It wasn't the 2008 euphoria behind Obama. But the euphoria in 2016, that carried Hillary was there because what? It was the promise of the first female president. Now what are they voting for? What euphoria would there be? The first angry president? I mean, really, it's not, there's nothing there. It's gimme, 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 but all that falls apart. Look at how some of the things on the left have just disintegrated. Well, Joe Biden, go back to the November polls. Joe was the man. Now, Bernie was doing okay, but Joe was the man. The momentum is there for Bernie in the primary season right now. That could change in the South. We don't know. It could get stronger in the South. We don't know. The polls are shaping up differently right now. But if he becomes the nominee, the momentum is very different.
I want to just read the paragraph from Andrew McCarthy's column about the weak sequel of Russian collusion. What we went through last week. In the sequel, you're asked to believe that Putin is manipulating the chess pieces to steal a second term for President Trump, somehow preferring an incumbent who beefs up the U.S. armed forces, pressures NATO allies to beef up theirs, imposes painful sanctions on Moscow, provides lethal aid in Ukraine, ramps up U.S. energy production, and seeks to thwart the Kremlin's coveted natural gas partnership with Germany over an unabashed socialist who honeymooned in the Soviet Union and whose policies would wreck the American economy, end the resurgence of American energy production, and hollow out the American armed forces. By the way, that's all based on truth.
Right.
Bernie Sanders' goal is to get rid of natural gas and oil.
Yeah.
Yep. The Green New Deal, yep. His policy that he endorsed of Ocasio-Cortez would do what?
Got to do away with cars.
You'd have to do away with cars. You'd have to do away with industry. You would have government taking over industry because government can't tell companies what to make. Oh, by the way, you got to make this. You can't make these things anymore. Stockholders are gone.
Yep.
So he would promote a socialist / communist. That's why they call it communist.
Exactly.
You're taking over industry. And the only way to do that, how do you take over industry? You'd have to do it in an authoritarian way because Congress isn't going to vote it for you.
Nope.
So your mindset has to be to do what? You do it in that authoritarian way.
Mm-hmm.
Where you take away people's personal property and you control the means of production.
Communism.
Yeah. So you're looking at Putin going, okay, yeah, it's Trump that we want to be president, not Bernie Sanders.
Right.
That's what they were trying to sell to the American people last right. week. Think about that. How weak is that?
Well, because think about too, that. Let's go back and keep Crimea in our minds, right? Bernie can't even keep his own microphone at one of his own speeches. You can see Putin just walk into the White House, move over. it is insane. It is insane how far the left will go in trying to demonize the president because you look at and they know this. This is the only thing they can say. Russia's rigging the now they're doing pre-Russia collusion on 2020. That's what they're doing now. Biden's part of it. They're all talking about it. Look at what Russia's doing. Look at what Russia's doing. All the Russian bots on social media. This is all Russia trying to manipulate. Every nation is trying to manipulate every other nation's election, depending on which administration you have or which leadership you have at that time. Obama did it with Israel. We all know that. I mean, it is insane, though, this idea that they think it's helping them. Politically, they think it's helping them.
I don't know if they politically think it's helping them or they're just desperate. They've got nowhere to go. They just have nowhere to go anymore.
So there, here's the question I asked you during the break. So you get past November, and they lose big. And, you know, I mean, 53-47, Trump wins with no problem, and Bernie's the, you know, the loser there. Do they learn anything from that?
We asked that in, was it 2014?
Yeah, right.
The 2014, we said, are they was it 2014? Yeah.
The midterm?
Yeah, midterm.
Yeah.
We said, are they ever going to change? And this is where Democrats started getting concerned with identity politics. We said, eventually they have to change, and they've just gone further left. Look, to take another communist, to have a communist analogy, I just go to Miracle on Ice,
mm-hmm.
when Kurt Russell is sitting there looking at with a minute left,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, the Red Army team's always won. They've never, you know, they've never been in a position to pull their goalie. And
right.
So Herb Brooks is looking at his assistant coach saying, you know, get ready for them to pull the goalie. And they're not pulling the goalie. They go, he doesn't know what to do.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I keep thinking that with the left right now, they don't know where to go.
They don't know where
so
to go.
So it's the media doesn't know where to go. So it's just insane rage, which is what? Bernie Sanders.
Yes.
What you see from the people who support Bernie Sanders is insane. Everything is insane rage.
Right.
Look, Bernie's talking about the fact that the country, completely, the United States of America, is fundamentally flawed and we have to start over again.
Right.
That's what he's saying.
Yes.
We need to transform this country. It needs to change. It's flawed. Government needs to run a ton of industry. Is it, the average American isn't walking around thinking that. They're thinking, can I get some free stuff over here?
And as the nominee, he will be the head of their party.
Yep. If you want to get in, we do have a line open. Would love to hear from you. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Analyzing the oil in your vehicle is like sending your blood to the lab for tests. After you have submitted your lube scan kit, technicians will check for elemental metals, including the presence of metals and other elements such as aluminum, chromium, iron, lead, copper, calcium, and more. Knowing the levels of these materials can help you identify wear patterns in a specific part of your engine. High amounts of wear metal usually indicate an abnormal wear or corrosion problem. Technicians will also check for insoluble matter like carbon, fuel, and dirt. The insolubles test measures how fast the oil is oxidizing and receiving contaminants and how effectively the system's oil filtration is functioning. Analysis will measure the oil's viscosity, its alkalinity or acid level, and if the proper level of detergents and anti-wear additives are present. If your oil falls out of the range it's supposed to be in, the oil could have been overheated or contaminated. The lube scan report will detail the results of these tests and provide an overall condition of the sample, ranging from normal to severe. If you've used LubeScan before, the report will include any changes from earlier analysis. For more information, visit Senex.com.
This maintenance tip is brought to you by TA Truck Service. More bays, more expertise, more solutions.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Carlin. I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. Even Buttigieg knows it. Here's what he said about Bernie Sanders.
Mm. Senator Sanders believes in an inflexible ideological revolution that leaves out most Democrats, not to mention most Americans.
There you go.
Well, and you know, it's, again, you ask yourself, how do you campaign if you're the DNC, if you're the party? You just kind of have to let Bernie take the lead. I mean, that's, you're going to have to let Bernie be Bernie.
It's been in the last week where he said, look, we're here to transform the country completely.
Right.
And he's pounded at it. And now that he's had the great success using that message for a week before Nevada, and it's paid off. Hey.
What world are we living in? Eric Harley and Gary McNamara on Red Eye Radio.
And he is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. Where are the Bernie fans? Bernie, 866-90 Red Eye. If you want to get in any comments about the caucuses on Saturday and the debate. This is going to be fun because the debate tomorrow. And we get to talk about the ideology of the Democrats. Right?
Yeah, sure.
This is one of the beautiful things. We get to talk about the opposition party to the president and to the Republicans. And we get to delve into specifically not just their criticisms, but what they are actually promoting. So it's going to be a fun time. By the way, this Fox News, a staggering 50 people, this is breaking news, have died in the Iranian city of Qom from the new coronavirus this month. Iran's semi-official ILNA news agency reported on Monday the new death toll is significantly higher than the latest number of confirmed cases of infections that Iranian officials had reported just a few hours earlier by and which stood at just 12 deaths out of 47 cases, according to state TV. By the way, that would be huge if it was 12 deaths out of just 47 cases, because if it's 2 to 3% fatality rate, that's a lot greater.
Sure.
Authorities are struggling to contain and understand the outbreak in those countries where infected cases have skyrocketed, increasing over 2,000% in just the past couple of weeks. Italy is considered Europe's first major outbreak and the largest outside of Asia. The number of infected cases jumped to 152 compared to just 3 10 days ago. The country is currently scrambling to disrupt the spread of the virus, which has seen 110 cases in Milan, its financial district, and Venice, known as a famous hub for tourists throughout the world. Events and soccer matches were canceled in the country, while some of its movie theaters were reportedly closed also. So there's where we are. Cases in South Korea increased to 763 on Monday, with 161 more people infected within the last 24 hours. The country had just 28 infected cases on February 14th. So there's where we are at the moment.
All right.
With that. But getting back to the primary, you and I both, I think we both agree on this, that eventually the United States was going to have this debate. How far do we want to go with socialism? Will a political party define the socialism that they want? Will a political party back the socialist / communist ideology of a Bernie Sanders? By the way, don't say that's you guys are giving Republican talking points. No, we're giving Democrat talking points.
Right.
So you can't use that. Ha ha. Now, I'm sorry, I shouldn't mock. This is a serious discussion, is it not?
We'll mock in the next segment.
You know, we've looked at, you know, since I've been a talk show host since 89. So seeing where we've gone in this country, it's no surprise that we got here. We have talked about this, and we have upset some Republicans when we have stated the Republican Party has moved to the left. The Democrat Party has moved full socialist. That's where they are. The Republican Party, if you look at it now, probably has the ability, because they have moved more moderate, which means more left, probably has the ability, and Trump does, to expand the base of people who would be willing to vote for them.
Right.
I don't see it in the Democrat Party that is moving, as we have said, socialist / communist, according to many Democrats out there. You have Bernie Sanders, who seems to, and this is the one thing, and I don't know if anybody has brought this up, but you and I talked about the language that he started using and how in his speeches over the last couple of weeks, we need to transform America. America is fundamentally flawed. There needs to be a fundamental transformation in America today. Well, that's not saying we need to improve our health care.
No.
Bernie Sanders is selling that our country is fundamentally flawed. And he's not saying, remember, it's not just Trump that it's fundamentally flawed under. It was fundamentally flawed before Trump.
Yeah, sure.
Is that going to be a selling point to the majority of America? Does America actually believe the far left narrative that everything in this country has broken down and that the problem with this country, as we see the problem with government, when we give government too much power and there's a concentration of power somewhere, we see where that has gone, that it's not the government that's the problem. When you look at everything over the last 3 years with Trump and everything bureaucrats in the government and Democrats have done, they're trying to convince you that government isn't the problem, the private sector is.
Hmm. Right. That they control a finite amount of wealth, too. I mean, he wants you to believe, Bernie wants you to believe that there's a finite amount of wealth in that private sector. And that the people who, because they love to, you know, Tom Steyer will be back. It was announced over the weekend. Tom Steyer will be back on the debate stage tomorrow night. Well, now you've got two billionaires. Bernie's going, thank you, thank you, thank you. Because, you know, it'll be the six that were on the debate stage last week plus Tom Steyer. And then Bernie can go off on the contributions from billionaires towards Mayor Pete. He will compliment Elizabeth Warren on her apparel and fine job as a senator. And then he'll ignore Amy Klobuchar. And then he'll go back to Bloomberg and Tom Steyer. This is the problem. These two guys, they're the problem with your life. The fact of the matter is there's an expansion of wealth. You look at, we can go to the usual suspects because they're always on the billionaires list, right? Mm-hmm. Trump is up there, but he's got a handful of billions, but it's not anywhere near what Bloomberg has, what, by the way, Warren Buffett has, wait a minute. What did I see over the weekend that he made a speech over the weekend, and he stayed out of the political fray. Is he not going to make a donation? Is he waiting to see if Bernie's the nominee and whether, because what do you do if you're Warren Buffett? You make a donation to the DNC or do you just sit it out?
I just remember the quote.
Yeah,
the demise of man can be related to, what was it?
Yeah, I forget.
Liquor,
yeah.
Women, yeah. And basically debt.
Mm-hmm. Well, but he stayed away from the political fray, which, again, in 2008, he was so smitten with both Hillary and Obama, he gave equally to both. But Warren Buffett, Bill Gates, these usual suspects that are, you know, now Jeff Bezos, who apparently is slowly turning into Dr. Evil. You have all of these, you know, liberal billionaires who would love to donate, but they're not going to donate. Okay, first of all, AOC defeats Amazon, Jeff Bezos, in her district. The whole second headquarters thing. AOC is on board with Bernie. Bernie hates billionaires. He wants them gone. Warren, of course, Elizabeth Warren, she wants them gone. So what do you do if you're billionaires? If you heard Bill Gates, what he said about it. Now, they're not going to support Trump, but did they sit it out? How big of a deal is this for the party in terms of fundraising? It could be big money because it doesn't have to be those guys. It doesn't have to be the big billionaires. We're just talking about anybody who's rich. They know they would suffer under a Bernie administration. They're going to give it to the DNC in hopes that they win?
Look, you and I have played audio from Chris Matthews, James Carville. We didn't play the one, Donnie Deutsch,
mm-hmm.
who said he can't see him. But you've got MSNBC, CNN, all these political pundits coming out and pounding on Sanders. Don't believe he can win. Rahm Emanuel saying mm-hmm. the exact same thing in softer tones, though. Mm-hmm. Do they all change if he becomes the nominee?
Well, I mean, yeah, there's that. I mean, you know, on the media side, Which is a great question. Do they soften up a little bit? Do they just go quiet?
Or does it get to the point with the Democrats where they say, we need to reject this guy because we need to redo the party? Or do they want him, or will they support him and then afterwards say, okay, we need to moderate? All of them are saying what we said 5 years ago.
Right.
6 years ago.
Right.
Well, we said they can't continue to go in this direction. You can't continue with the victim oppressor mentality, because that's what you have now. Everybody at a Bernie Sanders rally is a victim.
Yes.
They're a victim of an oppressive society.
Right.
The society needs to change.
Yes.
And that's what Bernie Sanders is selling right
now.
Yes,
we're going to transform the country.
Right. We need to transform the country because the country is an oppressor of the people. Well, you had no place else to go. You were going to get here. The only way that you can unite victims is to say everybody is your oppressor. The system is your oppressor. The country is your oppressor. The country is fundamentally flawed. That's where Bernie Sanders is right now. Do the majority of Americans buy into that?
Well, and are they looking at it going, let the pendulum swing? Even if we have to endure Trump, we let the pendulum swing so we can rebuild the party. It's like the... It's like the Sabres tanking the season so that they can get better picks next season. You know,
a Democrat. Wow, a Democrat tank. Should the Democrats Sanders?
Well, because I like that. Well, you just let it ride, right? I mean, it's like impeachment. They opened that door. They had to walk through it. They had to complete it.
Yeah.
If he becomes the nominee, look. If he walks in with a plurality at a brokered convention, he must walk away with a nomination. You don't want that. You don't want the party splitting. You don't want it imploding. Let it implode November 3rd and point to Bernie. Blame one guy.
Right.
Don't blame the party. But if he doesn't walk away, you know, with the nomination at this point, from this point, actually, it would be all out insanity.
Here's a question I would have. Let's say, you know, Bernie is a nominee and then gets smoked in the election.
Right.
And so that happens. Bernie was the problem, and therefore his ideology.
Exactly.
But how do you change an ideology? How do you form a new base of a party when the whole thing is based on victims and oppressors? You've got, was it in Austin today?
Mm.
And I'm sitting there, you know, some of the interviews with the people, I'm like, they think they're all victims.
Right.
They live in Texas. Right. They live in, for gosh sakes, they live in Texas.
Yeah.
Probably you can make the argument in Austin, Texas, the best economy in the United States.
Right. Yeah.
The best economy, and they're walking around
certainly
saying...
the best environment for a booming economy. Yeah, but
right.
the economy is booming. Austin right now and North Texas as well,
that's
booming.
What I mean, I think you can make the... I know that Dallas-Fort Worth led for job creation.
Right.
In the numbers, but I think what I've seen, Austin at times ranks even over the Dallas-Fort Worth area
right.
in how their economy is booming. Yet mm-hmm. they're all walking around as victims.
Right.
How?
Yeah. Right.
Because they've been taught it. Everybody is your oppressor.
Mm-hmm.
So finally, Bernie comes in and says, yep, everybody is your oppressor. The system is your oppressor. It's all screwed up. It all has to be fundamentally changed. And they're all going, yay.
Yeah, because they believe they can't win. They believe they can't win. And he's telling them, you can't win without me. You'll never get anything in life. You'll never get anywhere unless the government does it for you.
You're a sucker if you believe that,
exactly.
by the way. You're the biggest sucker on the planet if you actually believe that. All right, if you want to get in, lines open. We'd love to hear from you. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. So we got a lot of fun this week because we've got the debate tomorrow night, South Carolina primary coming up.
Yeah.
Dems attacking each other.
Now, does Steyer and Bloomberg team up on the others? Well, I mean, because you got Steyer is back on the debate stage. Is he going to call them communists?
The billionaire bullies.
Yeah, exactly. Well, because, you know, the only play there is to demonstrate how you've helped families, how many families have prospered, you know, because that's the only thing you can do. But see, if you talk about, here's the problem for Bloomberg. Bloomberg's worth $60 billion. If he talks about some of his executives who have come up through the ranks, well, those executives are multimillionaires now. Still, you're not appealing to anybody on the far left.
I'm trying to think. You've got Bloomberg's called him a communist, right? Because he said it's communism.
Right. Yeah, right.
So he was directing that towards Bernie.
Right.
So was it Chuck Todd or was it Carville? Did Matthews actually call him a communist?
It was Carville.
Carville. Okay.
Yeah.
Carville's communist.
Yeah.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
All across America and around the world, 866-90-RED-EYE, redeyeradioshow.com. We stream live, get our app, put it on your phone, listen at your convenience. He is Eric Harley, I'm Gary McNamara. The president held a rally this morning.
Today I say to every Indian, North and South, Hindu and Muslim, Jewish and Christian, rich and poor, young and old, take pride in the glories of your past. Unite for an even brighter future. And let our two nations always stand together as powerful defenders of peace and liberty and the hope of a better world for all of humanity.
It really was a rally. That's what it was called, right?
Yep. The Namaste Trump rally is what they called it.
Yep.
And it's pretty amazing. You have well over 100,000 people at that rally. I mean, that stadium was packed, just packed with people. You know, I mean, it's the second, population wise, the second largest nation. But it is a huge turnout for an American president. And I thought a great speech.
Yeah, so did I. It was one of his best speeches. You know, we looked at the State of the Union address and said that was the best State of the Union address that he had given. And in front of Americans, for Americans, that's still his best speech. But I thought this was his best foreign policy speech, yeah, you know, in a foreign land. I mean, it was really, really, really good. If anybody thought that he couldn't command an audience and that he can't get respect from other countries, you saw it with Prime Minister Modi there and everything else, the hug and just the words that the president had to say. You know, when we look at all of this and look at the election coming up, this is going to be a tough president to beat. He's in his stride. Impeachment means nothing. Think about this. Think about just 3 weeks ago, Eric. Three weeks ago.
I know. Just amazing.
Just 3 weeks ago. And it's like impeachment never happened.
It is really amazing.
And now seriously, it went from this is the worst president ever, he needs to be impeached and he needs to be taken out of office, the worst president ever. 3 weeks later, nobody's talking about impeachment. What are they talking about? Well, the Democrats are calling the lead guy for the Democrats, calling him a communist.
Yeah, right, exactly.
As we said, now we can safely say Bernie Sanders, the socialist communist, from the talking points of the Democrats, because it is.
Right.
The talking points from mainstream Democrats. Is Bernie Sanders a socialist communist or a full-bore commie? And that's from Democrats. I mean, you cannot.
We were so excited. You and I were both on Twitter yesterday, and I think and having such a good time, and I think our listeners related to it. It was like, man, you guys really can't wait to get on the air tonight, can you?
Well, no, I mean, it's just shaping up to be one of those political seasons, and the president, as much as he has been demonized, is at least in the position, we don't know if it'll happen, but in the position to win very big this fall. A re-election, the first American president to ever be impeached and then win quite possibly in a big way in November.
And again, don't say that is a Republican talking point, because I have another audio cut here from, as they refer to him as here, Real Clear Politics, Democratic political legend, James Carville.
Right. Well, first of all, I won't mention names, but I get any number of calls from panicked congressional incumbents. I know what's happening out there. I got a real good idea. The entire theory that by expanding the electorate, increasing turnouts, you can win an election is the equivalent of climate denying. Right. That when people say that, they're as stupid to a political scientist as a climate denier is to an atmospheric scientist. So whatever you do, if you want to vote for Bernie Sanders because you feel good about his program, because you don't like.
Oh, I lost him. But Carville just, you know, pounding, saying you're a fool. He said, if you're a Democrat and you vote for Bernie Sanders because you think he can beat Trump, you're a fool. Wow.
Yeah, that's pretty incredible.
I mean, that's just, you know, when you shake your head and say, what's going to come up next? Because you know their battle plan can't stop now.
Well, no, they can't. You can't turn this around. It's like impeachment. Once you open the door, you got to walk through it. They created Bernie. Bernie is the result of their behavior and what they have been teaching people to think for a long, long time. This is what you get to. So you got to let that pendulum swing. Are they more worried that he can't win or that he will win?
Probably since when, you know, you heard the same thing from, I can't think of his name, the former chief of staff of Obama, Rahm Emanuel.
Rahm Emanuel, yeah.
Rahm Emanuel said the same thing yesterday. They're saying the same things. You know, on the same day or within the same 24 hours, it's the same narrative. And Rahm Emanuel said the same thing on Meet the Press. Chris Christie sitting right next to him saying this formula they believe that Sanders has, he can't win. There's no way he can do it. Well, and I guess, you know, that you can look into the formulas, whatever algorithms they use, and I don't know what they use there. I don't care about that. What I care about is the substance of the issues that they are promoting and whether that is something that independents will latch onto, because that's still the difference. And the thing with Sanders, and you and I noticed it the last couple of weeks especially, he's just been pounding that the country is fundamentally flawed and we need to transform this country completely. I don't think the average gimmeist is there.
No.
The average gimmeist is, no, give me a couple of things here, but I like the country the way that it is. I was just struck again by, you know, by the imagery of Sanders, who I believe has got to the point of honing in his argument and taking the whole victim oppressor that the Democrats have taken to an art form, but at the same time they've taken it to an art form, it has helped to destroy their party and their ability to expand the message, because you've got a victim, you've got an oppressor. And if you're a victim, well, then we need more victims every day, more victims, more oppressors. And eventually, as you see, the victim of yesterday is the oppressor of tomorrow. Well, Bernie Sanders, I believe, has found the perfect way to get around that, which is, okay, for this election, you are being oppressed by everyone. And everyone is every institution in this country. It's the country itself. And I am here to change the country. You had these, I think the imagery, When you think about this, of having it in Austin, Texas, and we mentioned this last hour, but it's important to mention again and again and again, Austin, Texas, and I've seen all the different studies out there about where the best economy is in this country. If you take the actual locations, one of those places is Austin.
Yeah.
You can make the argument that Austin is the best place economically to live in the world.
Yeah. Right.
If it's the best place in the United States, then it's got to be one of the best places in the world, correct?
Sure.
And here are these people by the thousands in Texas. Now, Austin is liberal. They love being able to enjoy the fruits of a capitalist society while still claiming victimhood. And I don't believe Bernie Sanders will win Texas in a general election. He may in the primary.
Yeah.
But it just shows you how long this brainwashing has gone on, that people can be convinced in one of the best places in the world economically right now that they are a victim and that the country overall is fundamentally flawed and the entire economy has to change and be manipulated by the government. That's really amazing, and that is some successful brainwashing over a few decades.
Yeah, it is. It was inevitable. You look at the Russian collusion thing, and I've been saying for a while, the whole special prosecutor thing and how that was built on nothing. It was bound to end up in the fashion that it did, and that was the botched testimony by Robert Mueller. Well, the decades and decades and decades of preaching socialist values and then creating the victim mentality in every one of their base and the minds and everyone that was in their base at the time, this was the only way it could happen. Of course, Bernie was going to be the nominee, especially if Hillary wasn't running. And it was rigged when Hillary was running.
Mm-hmm.
Think about those superdelegates in 2016, and had they not done what they had done, and had the DNC not essentially rigged it to make sure that Bernie wasn't going to win. You can't stop it now. If he wins in the South, and then he goes to Super Tuesday and he takes Texas and he takes California, I mean, it may be at that point, because the Nate Silver forecast right now has him way above a brokered convention by about 9 points, I think it is, mm-hmm. in the last one.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, and that's a forecast, but it's based on very real things, and that is the Bernie surge, which right now you could say the Bernie surge right now is bigger than it ever was in 2016 in the primary.
You see South Carolina, these are polls that came out on Sunday. Biden 28, Sanders 23, Steyer 18, Buttigieg 10, Warren 12, Klobuchar 4. Minnesota Democratic primary, Klobuchar 29, her home state, Sanders 23, Warren 11, Biden 8, Buttigieg 3. Look at this, Bloomberg. This is just this weekend, just came out Sunday in Minnesota. Bloomberg 3 in Minnesota, 3. In Michigan, Sanders 25, Biden 16, Bloomberg 13. Wisconsin, Sanders 30, Biden 13, Bloomberg 13, Warren 12, Buttigieg 12. So in Pennsylvania, Sanders 25, Biden 20, Bloomberg 19, Warren 9, Buttigieg 12, Klobuchar 5. We did see, though, in the overall Democratic presidential nomination, Bloomberg down a few points. So he did take a hit. This was taken after the debate. So he did take a hit. Sanders 28, Biden 17, Bloomberg 13. That's the problem with Bloomberg. When people look at him and go, okay, there he is. Let's consider. Oh, he's gone. Boom.
Yep.
Back to Sanders.
Mm-hmm.
That's a question that you have to ask. But, yeah, when you see Sanders winning, and we said this last week when people said, well, Nevada will mean nothing. It's just a small state. We went, no, it'll mean something because it's momentum. Democrats are saying it will mean nothing. It'll mean nothing. All of a sudden, by the time you get to Saturday night, we're doomed.
Well, I mean, you know, there's the possibility of Bloomberg and Biden combined each gaining a little bit of momentum, but they're not going to gain what Bernie has gotten out of Nevada. You know, and if Bernie takes South Carolina this Saturday and then does very well in Texas and California, which he will do, he'll win California if you look at the polls. You look at the latest two polls, And he's got a few points ahead of Biden in Texas. If he takes both of those states, then I don't know how anybody else regains momentum. Bloomberg holds on because he's got the money. I think he holds on because he wants to win his home state. He wants to win New York. And he might win Florida, maybe. That's a huge maybe. But he's got to perform on the debate stage tomorrow night and not look like a deer in the headlights. He's got to leave his arrogance at the door, and he's got to come out, and he's got to, the only thing you can do is promote how your wealth has benefited families all over. You spell out your charities and everything else, but that's the only game he's got. Nothing else you can do. He's not going to write a $60 billion check, you know, to any one of the moderators and say, here, I'm done. It's not going to happen. So your only play is to show how your money works for other people. And Bernie's going to go, well, we're going to take more of it.
And I can see Bernie. So now Bloomberg's trying to tell you how trickle down works.
Exactly. Exactly.
You can't win.
You can't win.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Yes, the Phase 1 trade deal with China did have a specific dollar figure of U.S. ag products that China was committing to buy during this and the next calendar year. But USDA's analyst Sharon Rashup told the USDA's Outlook Forum Friday there's still a lot of uncertainty about the deal because of everything it did not have in it.
It didn't specify the timing that these purchases are going to be made. It also didn't release a mix of commodities, so we don't know how much of that value could go for soybeans, for corn, for fish. And it also didn't take away the tariffs on U.S. goods.
Now, this past Tuesday, the Chinese government announced exemptions to the tariffs might be possible, but
Chinese companies have to apply for these exemptions, and they will be considered on market conditions.
Again, not much concrete information on which to base a forecast of how much of what products China might buy and when. And another unknown, how will the coronavirus situation play into this? From Arlington, Virginia, Gary Crawford for the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
The USDA report is brought to you by Cenex Roadmaster XL Premium Highway Diesel Fuel.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Carly, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. I noticed this since Saturday that you've had all the Democrat political pundits and even those that have worked in the DNC and for President Obama. This is Rahm Emanuel, former Obama chief of staff, and, oh, yeah, Chicago mayor, too, but they want to forget that. He's saying the same thing as Carville and others are saying. Look, there is no path there. There is no path there for Sanders to win, and they're making that known. They're not saying the ideology is wrong. What they're saying is the philosophy that he has to win is basically flawed.
Right. I do think people should take note. His entire strategy upends every electoral map that either President Clinton, President Obama, or the midterms of 2006 and 2018 put together. It's a different theory of the case. Never been tested before nationally and never have been proven successful for any Democrat, either presidential or congressional majority.
All right. It's funny that I didn't hear him say that earlier. I was looking at the electoral map from 2016, and you and I were having a discussion off the air. And I said, you know, the thing is that you look at some of those states where she just beat Trump by a point and a half or 2 percentage points. And those are states that Trump can easily win in. And, I mean, you know, look, Illinois, California, New York, they're all going to go blue. But you look at these other states, and that's where you get to this whole, you know, landslide. I wouldn't project or pretend to believe that there's a landslide coming, but it could be a very solid, huge win for the president. Here's your forecast.
Cloudy conditions and rainfall for the central part of the country start the work week. For Missouri, Illinois, portions of Indiana, Kentucky, and Tennessee, unfortunately, more wet weather in store for the south, and especially in the Ohio and Tennessee Valley, where this rain will eventually continue to dump down into the south, where the rivers and streams are already at capacity. Rains will continue throughout today, but heavier tomorrow in the south. We're going to pick up showers today in Missouri, portions of Illinois, Indiana, and especially western Kentucky. It's somewhat of a slow-moving system. The rain showers will be delivered into the northeast and mid-Atlantic for Tuesday and Wednesday. And in the west, beginning as rain on the coast, but breaking off as some energy moving over the Rockies, we'll see more snow for the northern tier states over the course of the day. Your national forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
One 866-90-RED-EYE. We're taking your calls on Red Eye Radio.
And he's Eric Curley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. I got the audio cut that right. Started the hashtag, what, fire Chris Matthews?
Yeah, right.
Over the weekend, this is Chris Matthews' analysis of the Nevada caucuses.
Get in on this conversation. First and foremost, Chris Matthews, I know you as a romantic about American politics and the American political experience. I happen to know Joy Reid is with you. Ditto. She is a romantic about the American political experience. I am guessing you are both by now hardcore realists that we're looking at a category that says reallocated preference. The first category is what most people define as voting. What is going on here, and is this any way to pick a nominee?
Well, I don't think so, but it is the way we're picking this one, and it looks like Bernie Sanders is hard to beat right now. I'm with Carville all the way in terms of the dangers of what lies ahead in November. I'm very much aware they're sitting on so much Oppo research on Bernie, what he said in the past about world affairs, how far left he is. I'm not sure how far left he is, but they're going to make the most of that in terms of world politics. They're going to kill him. But I think it's a little late to stop him, and I think that's the problem. By the way, if you look at the pattern, it's dynamic. Bernie won the popular vote in Iowa. He won it again in New Hampshire. It looks like he's going to win it here when they finally get a vote. Bernie's been winning consistently, and I think it's mathematically understandable. Every time we poll, every time Steve and everybody polls, two-thirds of the Democratic vote, two-thirds of people who call themselves Democrats are either liberal or very liberal. All Bernie ever had to do, and he's done it beautifully, is get a majority of that, and he's up to the mid-30s. If you get half of 67, you're into the mid-30s, and that's where he's gotten a little better. Biden, his only prayer was to consolidate the third of the vote that's moderate and conservative. And he got nowhere near clearing that field. Nowhere near. That's split up four ways now. And so with new people coming in, DeVal Patrick came in. He didn't make it. Bloomberg is in. He's probably going to survive a bit longer because of his money. But that field wasn't cleared. The only way Biden could win in that one-third of the vote that's either moderate or conservative is to sweep it. He got nowhere near. Bernie, on the other hand, did his job. He got more than a majority of that 67%. That is the name of the game. It is pretty much over unless that changes. I was reading last night, Brian, I know you're a history guy too. I'm reading last night about the fall of France in the summer of 1940, and the general Renault calls up Churchill and says, "It's over." And Churchill said, "How can it be? You got the greatest army in Europe. How can it be over?" He said, "It's over."
So that's it. Comparing Sanders' win to the French surrendering to the Nazis. And so many Sanders supporters wanted Chris Matthews fired for that. to resign or be fired.
Yes.
Funny thing is, I actually saw the hashtag first, and I said, whoa, did he really say Nazis? And when I actually listened to it, I went, really? Okay. That wasn't...
Well, but...
It wasn't as bad as some of the other things I've heard him say.
Was it Matthews or Chuck Todd that talked about the brown shirts thing?
Oh, that was Chuck Todd.
Chuck Todd.
Yes.
So, pretty much everybody there at MSNBC, it looks like, is in lockstep, if you will.
They're all relating the successes of Bernie Sanders somehow. To Nazis or Nazi defeats.
Yes. Wow.
Excuse me. Nazi victories.
Yes, right.
Yes.
Wow. Seriously. Are we the only ones not doing edibles?
Yes, yes, yes.
All right, latest poll out, CBS News poll. Most voters expect Trump will be reelected. 65% of registered voters nationwide think Trump will definitely or probably be reelected, including more than a third of Democrats who think so. Republicans are especially optimistic. More than 9 in 10 expect him to win.
Hmm.
Since potential head-to-head matchups with all the major Democratic candidates against Mr. Trump show a tight race, no matter who the Democratic nominee is, with no more than 3 percentage points separating the Democratic candidates from Mr. Trump in any matchup with the 6 top polling Democratic contenders, most voters have dug in when it comes to who they will vote for in November. 6 in 10 voters say it doesn't matter who the Democratic nominee is or what Mr. Trump might do over the next year. Well, what they're saying is no matter who it is.
Yeah.
They're not just saying if it's Sanders. They're saying no matter who it is, they still believe, even if they're not going to vote for Trump, they still believe Trump will win. You know what that shows? Not a lot of confidence in any of your candidates.
Well, and okay, so you think about this. And Bernie's got the most, energy of a campaign, clearly. It's got the most momentum right now. But, you know, that momentum can come to a screeching halt at any moment. You said it earlier in the program, Bernie's never really been vetted. This president, the current president, has been vetted multiple times. He was vetted by his own party, the far right. I mean, if you go back to February of 2016, the only person he had in the party on his side was Jeff Sessions.
Let me make this clear so people don't understand it. What I've said is, I want to make this clear. Bernie has not been vetted to the country.
Exactly.
He's been vetted to conservatives.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He's been vetted to Republicans.
He's been vetted to, they know who he is clearly now at MSNBC.
Right. Well, I mean, we have, if you listen to conservative talk radio,
yeah.
Bernie Sanders has been vetted over the years.
Oh, sure.
We're talking about, in general, in a major election, has he been vetted? And that has not happened.
The president was vetted by the far right in 2016. What became the Never Trumpers, even Ted Cruz, vote your conscience at the convention. Remember that. Going into the convention, he was still being vetted by the far right. Then he was vetted by the left, of course, all along the way.
Then he was
vetted by through Russian collusion.
Yep.
Then he was vetted through impeachment.
Yep.
And still every day they throw things at him. I mean, they're little vetting bombs.
Vetting bombs. I like that. Vetting bombs.
Instead of bombshells, they're duds. But you know, these little vetting bombs they throw at him. You know, this could have happened. Well, that could have happened. Wait for it. There will be something. You know, you got a rally of over 100,000 people in India today. And they're cheering, and the president gave what we think is an excellent speech. There will be something. I don't know what it will be, but there will be something. But you look at that, and I'm guessing they will say that it's kind of a slap in the face that a billionaire would show up in India with so many people that are in such dire need, so much poverty in that country. It's a slap in the face to send a billionaire over there. That's I can hear that ringing out of somebody's absurd mouth at some point today. But they keep vetting him because every time they throw something at him, the media takes it and they run with it. Well, the media stumbles every time because they get burned. Or, actually, they're not getting burned because they keep falling for it, or they help to create it. They help carry it. They're activists in these newsrooms who haven't been able to take this president down. He hasn't flinched in all of this. But Bernie will be fully vetted on a national level, as you mentioned, coming up between now and convention, but certainly beyond convention.
Well, you think about when he's going to be vetted, especially by the Republican Party, by the campaign of Trump in his own words, the things that he has said in the past. Just to give you an example, Wall Street Journal on February 2nd said, you know, the evolution of Bernie to a socialist. It said, agree or disagree with Bernie Sanders, at least he's consistent, or so he claims. Mm. Having a long record, the Vermont senator said in October, gives people the understanding that the ideas that I'm talking about, they are in my guts, they are in my heart, this is who I am as a human being, and it ain't going to change. That's true up to a point. During a half century in public life, Mr. Sanders has dependently denounced the oligarchy and pronounced himself a democratic socialist. But his definition of the term has radically changed. Last year, he said his goal was, quote, an economy in which you have wealth being created by the private sector, but you have fair distribution of that wealth. He added, I think the countries like Denmark and Sweden do very well, but it killed it. That was destroyed when he came out in favor of the Green New Deal.
Mm-hmm.
He had a different version in the 70s when he sought statewide office four times as a nominee of the Liberty Union Party of Vermont. Campaigning for the U.S. Senate in 1971, he demanded the nationalization of all utilities. In 1973, he proposed a federal takeover of the entire energy industry. In 1974, he wanted a 100% tax on all income above $1 million. In 1976, so the whole billionaire's tax, right. He already wanted a millionaire's tax.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted all millionaires' wealth to go.
Right.
In 1976, he asserted that workers needed to, quote, take immediate control of the economy if we are to survive. That's a quote, and called for, quote, public ownership of utilities, banks, and major industries, end of quote. He had a plan for public control over capital. As late as 1987, he asserted that democracy means public ownership of the major means of production.
Hmm.
By the time Mr. Sanders won his first election as mayor of Burlington, Vermont in 1981, he had become an independent. He also began a dalliance with the Socialist Workers' Party, a communist group that had followed Leon Trotsky. Mr. Sanders endorsed the presidential nominee, the SWP's nominee in 80 and 84, and spoke at the Socialist Workers' Party's campaign rallies during that period. In 1980, he was part of its slate of would-be presidential electors. The Socialist Workers' Party promoted a foreign policy openly hostile to U.S. interest, and Mr. Sanders expressly endorsed some aspects of it. Last year, the Washington Examiner quoted him from a 1980 press release. I fully support the Socialist Workers' Party continued defense of the Cuban Revolution.
Mm.
The party even backed Iran's new theocracy while it was holding U.S. Embassy personnel hostage. In a 1979 speech, presidential nominee Andrew Pulley said, who are these hostages anyway? Well, we can be sure that many of them are simply spies or people who were assigned to protect the spies. In 1985, Sanders visited Nicaragua. On returning, he called the Soviet-backed leader, Daniel Ortega, impressive and said it makes sense for the regime to suppress newspapers given the threat from the U.S.-supported contra-insurgency. So understand the radical that he's always been. He's moderate. Yeah. He's had to moderate in order to survive in the federal level, but it's who he is, and we'll have more. We'll continue the vetting.
Yes.
But that's from the Wall Street Journal.
Yep. And the vetting will, you know, last night on 60 Minutes, you saw some of that, basically asking about how you're going to pay for programs and things like that. But that will continue.
So when we say he's a socialist / communist, we say it, he has said it, and the Democrats now say it.
Right.
866-90-RUD-EYE.
Shell recently launched Shell Rotella T6 15W40
full synthetic. Megan Pinault is Shell Rotella Global Brand Manager and tells us what was behind the development and more about the product.
We are excited to launch this new full synthetic Shell Rotella T615W40. This is the first time we have a full synthetic in 15W40 viscosity range. We know that truckers love 15W40. That is the primary viscosity grade used in the U.S. and Canada and really in many parts of the world as well. So our customers can enjoy some of the benefits of cold temperature properties, low temperature and high temperature, allowing for the oil to flow faster into the engine and protect it better. Having a full synthetic also allows for extended drain opportunities for those that are trying to push the limits a little bit. But we always recommend following their manufacturer recommendations and doing oil analysis to ensure that they are changing when appropriate.
For more, go to Rotella.com. This engine report is a service of Shell Rotella.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara. This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.